It's very important that we read things which are not, which are challenging our own notions. But when it comes to fiction, stories are a beautiful way to engage our minds.
Absolutely.
And also broaden our matter. These are the people I have usually observed. They read a lot of Hindi literature and they appreciate it. So it's not like they are reading it and the literature is definitely good. It is definitely lovely experience.
हेलो दोस्तों, मेरा नाम है जयेश गंगन और आप देख रहे हैं द आवारा मुसाफिर शो। आज के एपिसोड में हम बात कर रहे हैं ख्याति गौतम से, जो कि एक बुकस्टाग्रामर है, बुक रिव्यूअर है, कंटेंट क्रिएटर है। इस एपिसोड में हमने कई सारे टॉपिक्स पे बात की है। हम बात करते हैं चेतन भगत के बारे में, हम बात करते हैं हिंदी लिटरेचर का क्या इंपॉर्टेंस है आज के डे एंड एज में, हम ये भी बात करते हैं कि इंडियंस को सेल्फ हेल्प बुक से इतना ज़्यादा प्यार क्यों है। इस एपिसोड को एंड तक देखिए, क्योंकि इसमें कई सारे ऐसे इंटरेस्टिंग टॉपिक्स आपको मिलेंगे जिनके बारे में आपको जानना ज़रूरी है। और ऑल्सो लेट मी टेल यू, ख्याति के जो ओपिनियंस है, जो उनके थॉट्स है, वो एक बहुत ही वेल नोन प्लेस से आते हैं, बिकॉज शी हैज़ रेड सो मेनी बुक्स, तो उन्हें एक बहुत ही अच्छा अंदाज़ा है अबाउट वर्ल्ड इशूज़ एंड ऑल्सो इशूज़ दैट आर वेरी क्लोज टू आर हार्ट, विच आर वेरी क्लोज टू अस कल्चरली। इस एपिसोड को एंड तक देखना, और अगर चैनल पे नए हो तो चैनल को सब्सक्राइब करना। अगर ख्याति का अकाउंट अभी तक आपने इंस्टाग्राम पे नहीं देखा है तो प्लीज गो एंड फॉलो हर एज वेल। एंड लेट्स स्टार्ट विथ टॉकिंग अबाउट बुक्स, बट नॉट इन द इन द सेंस कि हम बुक्स के बारे में बात करते हैं, लेट्स टॉक अबाउट योर राइटिंग फर्स्ट। बिकॉज मैंने जब एक्सप्लोर किया आपका इंस्टाग्राम पेज, इट वॉज मोर फ्रॉम द पर्सपेक्टिव ऑफ योर राइटिंग, बिकॉज आई थिंक सो वन ऑफ योर पोस्ट जस्ट पॉप्ड अप ऑन माई फीड इन द एक्सप्लोर पेज इंस्टाग्राम का, एंड आई वॉज गोइंग लाइक आई वॉज रीडिंग दैट राइट अप दैट यू राइट ऑन एवरी पोस्ट, एंड देन आई चेक सम अदर राइट अप एज वेल, एंड आई फेल्ट एज अ रीडर दैट यू शुड राइट अ बुक, यू हैव दैट काइंड ऑफ लैंग्वेज विच कनेक्ट्स विद पीपल। So how did writing happen? Like, are you are you dreaming about writing someday a book or anything like that?
Okay. So I think since my childhood, I have been very much interested in reading as well as writing. I think writing just came very naturally to me. You know, when I used to read people when I was still very young, you know, in the school magazines or the newspapers, some great writers and their write-ups used to come. And I would always read them, and I would always wonder, like, you know, how do these people write so well? And would there, matlab, kabhi aisa din aayega that I would be able to write it the way they are. Like, kabhi aisa din aayega that I would get published probably in some newspaper or magazine or on web. So I was just always very, you know, fascinated by all this writing ecosystem. So, eventually I started writing by the time I think I was in my early teenage, mid-teenage, I think I would say.
Yeah.
I started writing poems, short paragraphs, musings. And I think reading also just got intensified in my teenage for me.
Right.
Library and then, you know, visit the book, read the books there. And I think that reading has developed an attraction in me, I think an interest in me that I want to write something now.
Yeah.
So then the writing started, and while I got into college, I think I was out of touch with both reading and writing for almost 1.5 years. I was just enjoying my college life then. But by the time I was in second year, I again got into writing. I used to, you know, participate in this online writing contest that happened on Instagram, on Facebook. Right. And that's how I realized that I should, you know, polish my entire writing, because let's see what people resonate with and what I want to write. And that's how the thing started. And since then, I have been on and off with writing. In fact, I haven't written anything creatively in the past 1 year, I think. I have been out of touch again with writing. So I'm so glad that you have, you know, popped up this thing that, you know, you just discovered me because of my writing. That has somehow motivated me again that I should pick up my pen and write again.
So, no, because, you know, have you heard this saying that as much as you read, it makes you a better writer? Like, jitna zyada tum padhoge, utne acha tum writer banoge. But I have a flip question to this for you. The more you write, the better you get at reading. Is that also possible?
The more you write, the better you get at reading. I'm not too sure about this. But I think you know, when you write, when you are in touch with words, and
Yeah.
you kind of try to delve into your own mind and, you know, the surroundings, and in this entire beautiful world of words, you
Correct.
somehow get a little more interested, you know, into reading and reading more versatile people. Okay. Reading people who are actually, you know, suppose you take an example of Chumpa Lahiri, or there was a one book that has come out, Amitav Ghosh for that matter. Now,
Right.
these people, they write with their heart, and they're literary. The writing is very
Correct.
different. It's subtle, it's beautiful. So probably that your writing also does, you know, help you in getting more into
Yeah.
reading. I'm not too sure about that, but maybe.
So, because I have noticed this in me, I come from a journalism background, and when I'm
Oh,
writing
great.
articles on a, like, you know, on a stretch, like for example, if I'm writing articles per day, I feel that I can read better because I am in touch with words. So I do not have
Right.
to, you know, nahi to reading mein always there is this one phase where you are reading, 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 and then this one phase comes jahan pe tum nahi pad pate ho. It's like a reading slump.
Right.
And I think so, when you write, there's no reading slump for some reason. I don't know scientifically kya hai, but I have noticed this.
Probably, probably. But
yeah.
what I have also noticed is, like, when I have to write every day, like as a commercial content writer or something like that, I tend to be less creative with things. I don't know why that is.
Okay.
This is, I think this differs from person to person. I find that, you know, when I do a lot of writing, I'm just a
yeah.
little less creative with everything. I need my time and space to for my creativity to breathe.
Correct.
And that is something that doesn't come in when you have to be doing the same thing over and over again every day.
Yeah, makes sense. Because when you write every day, obviously it takes a toll on your creative side as well. So, haan, matlab, that I agree with. But then you talked about Jhumpa Lahiri, you talked about Amitav Ghosh. Are there any more writers like them, jinko you might have, you know, followed just because for their writing, not even the stories, just the way they write?
I think Ruskin Bond is one person who I absolutely adore, because his writing is very simple and we are able to connect with it instantly.
Exactly.
Similarly, I think for Sudha Murthy, because her writing is again very simple, very authentic.
Right.
Nothing too, you know, flowery in terms of language, but just something that just reflects the real world out
Correct.
There and the real
Correct.
Emotions of real humans. So I think this is these two are the people who are always... everything reminds me of them.
Yeah. So, dude, like, how old are you right now?
Right now, I'm 25.
25. And you started reading, I think so, at like mid-teenager. So, I'm guessing around 14, 15, like that?
Yeah, probably. Mother,
so,
I started reading from
yeah.
the time when I was 3 or 4 year old. It's just
yeah.
that, you know, I have been on and off with reading. But I think it all intensified while in my teenage.
Correct. But then, you know, that brings me to the next question, which is ki, when you start reading so early, how does it, you know, affect you? Like, obviously, it has some positive aspects. If you can highlight those, because I see in India, especially with the teenagers today, because the information is so much on the internet, people do not go towards the books. So if you could just, you know, highlight those positive aspects of reading.
Okay, so we didn't have the access to internet while we were young. We just
yeah.
had books and probably
yeah, good old days.
Some amount of yeah, or some television shows or something like that.
Yeah.
Personally, I feel reading just makes you a better person when, you know, you're in a world where you are exposed to different ideas, different ways of expressing those ideas, different
yeah.
worlds. It just makes you more patient. Humble, and definitely develops your interpersonal skills to some level, because
right.
When you read about a lot of things, suppose there are books or there are stories which reflect you know, they talk about how something bad is happening around in the world, you probably just read it and then become more
yeah.
empathetic towards things, you know, like the world is not all beautiful, full of
Correct.
Beautiful fairies and unicorns or something like that. There is everything
yeah.
lot of things are going out, happening around you, and you just acquaint yourself with it and become aware of those things. So, as for me, reading has definitely made me a better person, especially with expressing myself. Because I have been a person who has a lot of difficulty in, you know, being good at verbal communication. Like, I'm not good with expressions. I'm not good with talking and verbally telling people, ki, okay, this is this and these are the challenges I'm facing, or these are the problems I want to talk about or stuff. But when I read, I feel that my emotions are valid. My thoughts are valid. There's nobody to judge me there. And as I read, it just makes me a better writer. That's that.
So do you like, and I am asking you this because you just now told ki you're not good with words always. Like, I'm sure there are times when you are good, but there are some times when you're not. Do you remember our first conversation when I like, we are doing the podcast now, but I think so. I got in touch with you a few months back. So you told me that you are not comfortable doing a video podcast, and I was like, this is a content creator and she's not ready to do a podcast. And I was like, I was thinking why, and now I got the answer. So what changed in that time period? Like, are you good at talking now, or are you just challenging yourself to talk now? What is it?
I think what has changed in all of these months is that I'm trying to come out of my own comfort zone now. Like, I realize that this is not how I can go ahead. I cannot always stay in my zone and be like, okay, things will happen. No, I have to challenge myself. I have to push my own limits to probably get somewhere. So this is the reason why I have been actively trying to, you know, embrace as many opportunities as I can. I have been very reluctant with a lot of things in the past, and I definitely agree with what you said. And I still remember we had a conversation about the podcast in 2020.
Correct.
And it is happening today in 2022. So I was like, oh my God, it just took us so long.
Yeah.
So I think the way everyone has been trying to experiment to be out of their zone, to do newer things, because that's the only road to growth. I should also be doing the same. And I think that is that will. Willingness to come out of my zone has definitely led me to be on this podcast today.
Correct. And okay, so basically this podcast, as I told you, this might have like three aspects basically. One was writing, one was books, and the third one was social media, because you are a content creator. I want to ask you this particularly now that we are on this topic of content creation and how content creators grow. What firstly made you start your bookstagram? Because a few days back you put up a story where you were asking people ki tumne kyun chalu kiya wo batao. So I want to flip that question on you, ki why did you start?
Okay, so I have been into book reviewing since 2017,
right?
Because a friend of mine introduced me to this entire ecosystem of book reviewing and how it all works. So that I started as a hobby, because I used to love reading books. And book reviewing gave me an opportunity to also write about them. Again, another activity that I absolutely enjoy doing.
Correct.
So I just got into things. And slowly and steadily, by 2018, I got to know about the bookstagram. I was still not very sure about that there's such a large community out there. But I knew that, you know, people click good pictures of the books and they put it on Instagram and stuff. Yeah. So I just created my account, and in September 2018 I started it. I mean, the 31st August was the day.
Right.
In 2018 that I started Bookstagram finally. Again, it took me a lot of time to finally understand the dynamics of this community, the Bookstagram community. The name itself was so new to me. And I realized that I think Bookstagram, I started because it just gave me an opportunity to read, to write, and also click good pictures of the books. Now, again, this is something that I enjoy doing. So these were the three main things. Slowly, I think I have also been, I have been enjoying the good conversations with some of the good folks, you know, who talk about reading. Also, it is a platform. I have discovered so many writers. The writers otherwise I wouldn't have discovered for a very, very long time. Now, even though they are on my TBR right now, I haven't read all of them. But still, I know about, like, these are the people I look forward to reading sometime in future. So this community of people who are readers and who are so diverse readers has this community has helped me to become a better reader for that matter, and also has developed my view, my perception of seeing the world, because here the people are coming from different walks of life. They are coming from different communities. They're coming from different, they have their different schools of thought. And it was so interesting to engage in those conversations and, you know, connect with them. So it has been a good journey for the Bookstagram.
Right. So, like you talked about the dynamics of Bookstagram, and for a matter of fact, like I started Bookstagram and then I quit it. But like, and the reason why I quit it was because I couldn't grow it. And the reason behind was that I couldn't write book reviews. And I still till today, I have read a lot of books, but I cannot write book reviews for some reason. I don't know why, but we'll just... I don't know what are the basics of writing a review. So I cannot go into the detail. I know everything about a particular book, but I won't be able to write the book review. I can take good pictures of the books because I have a background in photography as well. So I can take good pictures, but I cannot write. And as you mentioned it, that the dynamics need to be right. It needs to be a combination of writing, of creative, of photography. So how did you develop this? Because I'm guessing writing a book review is a completely different task. So how do you develop that skill?
Developing the photography thing or the entire
reviewing skill? Reviewing skill. Reviewing because skill. Photography is still, I think so it's easier for a lot of people because everyone has a good phone now. But writing, it's a special skill. So how do you develop that?
I'm not sure if my reviews are great. I'm not at all sure about this fact. The only thing I do is I just write whatever I feel about a book after reading it. So, I mean, I think practice makes you a better person with whatever art or whatever skill you're trying to get good with. So I just started reading. I mean, I've been into writing for a long time, right? And while I was reading also, and I've been writing about books for a long time. So I think I have developed, I have been practicing this entire thing. And when you do something over and over again, you tend to get better at it. With every passing day, you will have a better version of yourself doing that particular thing. Also, I have read a lot of people who review books, either from newspapers or on web, or these book reviewers on Bookstagram itself. I read them and I try to understand how are they forming their ideas? How are they, you know, shaping their thoughts? How are they putting it out, all what is there inside of themselves out on the web? So how are they doing it? And after a careful, you know, observation, studying others, that's how you get better at doing things. Practice makes you perfect. Taking
makes
a careful
sense,
consideration of things makes you perfect. That's how you do
makes
it.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
And most importantly, love for what you do.
Yeah, that's the, I mean, that's, if you do not love writing, then there's no point to it. And as you mentioned that some people write their book reviews in a certain style, they have flair for it. And it just looks that they are very passionate about that book. And when I compare those reviews with mine, I am like, ye kya matlab kachra likha hai maine? This is so good. And I don't know. It's I think so book reviewing is a skill that people can develop. It's just key. It takes practice, as you said.
Absolutely. It of course takes a lot of practice.
Yeah. And I want to know from you, what do you read more, like fiction or non-fiction?
Anything and everything that comes to me, I read everything. Yeah. But I think these days I'm very, you know, interested in reading non-fiction, self-help books.
So you also have phases?
Yes,
like
all the times. Phases.
Yeah, yeah. Because I go through these phases when I'll just read non-fiction. And then there are phases when I'll just read fiction, and usme bhi fir there are different kinds of fiction, there are different kinds of non-fiction. So you also have that same kind of thing?
Probably. I have been in this phase. Of course, I'm reading fiction also, but I think in the past few months, I'm just more interested into exploring non-fiction. I don't know why. I haven't read a lot of non-fiction, but still I'm just very keen on trying. Okay, let me just try a bit. What is a new upcoming business read that's coming up, or what is the new self-help that's coming up? What is the new new book that is focusing on content creation for that matter? Anything and everything. But this is probably a phase. Also, I just read it somewhere that when your people just start aging, when they know that, okay, the time is passing by, you don't have a lot of time on this world, in this world. So you just want to read quality things, and also I think people just develop more inclination towards reading nonfiction. This was something that I read. I'm not too sure if it is true, but something like that.
So
I think now that I'm growing old, I want to read nonfiction something.
But then has this ever happened with you that
sometimes like I feel there are so many books, like millions of good books, and I'm just reading few hundred of those. So aisa feeling aata hai kabhi? So is there that feeling of FOMO, fear of missing out?
The fear of FOMO, I mean, the fear of missing out was there when I started Bookstagramming, because I was seeing a lot of good books out there.
Yeah.
I bought books. I did impulse book buying for a long, long, long time. And to date, I haven't read those books. All those award-winning books, all those popular books on the web, I haven't read them.
The infamous TBR pile.
Yeah, the infamous TBR pile that has no end now.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I think after all this time, I don't have that FOMO anymore with me. I mean, let me read whatever I want to read. I have limited time anyway. So I don't know when the life is going to end for me. So let's just read whatever comes our way. Let's try to create our own reading list. Let's take inspiration from others' reading list, but don't be so influenced that you start feeling that pressure of being, the pressure that you want to fit into this entire ecosystem of readers. Just read whatever you want to. Take it easy. It's your life after all.
But then isn't it tougher for you because you are a Bookstagram creator and you keep seeing this good pictures, right? And some pictures are good just because the cover of the book is good, right? So isn't it tougher for you to, you know, say ki, I won't buy this book again, because this has happened with me. I have bought so many books just for the pictures. So how did you get rid of that feeling?
Okay. In that case, I always look at my bank balance and the cost of the book on Amazon, and then I wonder if it is something that I can afford right now. If not, let's let it go. There is no problem in that.
I agree. So and I want to take you back to the previous conversation where we were talking about fiction or non-fiction. Now have you read any books by Salman Rushdie?
No.
And I was watching one of his interview, and he says in that interview, someone was asking him, why do you write such offensive books? And he says that if you want to get offended by a book, you need to do a lot of hard work, because it's 400, 500 pages of book that you need to go through. So tum bahut mehnat kar rahe ho offense lene ke liye. And then you mentioned that you read nonfiction. So I want to know, obviously, we all have our political thoughts. We have our historical thoughts, cultural thoughts. We have an opinion. Do you try to read books which do not match with your opinions?
Absolutely. I think it's very it's very important that we read things which are challenging our own notions. I think being as a content creator and being in this space for almost more than 3 years now, I have seen a lot of things that happen on social media regarding the political views or regarding whatever thoughts they have related to different areas of interest. There are conflicting opinions, and then I see that people are just not able to accommodate, you know, a different opinion, which is wrong, because as humans we are always going to come up with a different school of thought. And having said that, I think it's very important that you develop a liking for a differing opinion as well. You cannot live with your own idea of things, because your entire knowledge is limited. You don't know if what you know right now is an absolute truth. There would be somebody out there who knows probably a different probably has a different perception of things. So I think aapko alag alag cheezon ko padhna, alag alag logon cheezon ko samajhna bahut zaruri hai. Khud ko develop karne ke liye hi aapko alag alag cheezon ko samajhna bahut zaruri hai, because har cheez ka ek hi aspect nahi hota hai. There are multiple dimensions of that subject. So I really like to read things which challenge my own thoughts, my own opinions, and that is something that I absolutely like about myself. Honestly, bragging about it here, but I really
but that's a good thing to brag about, because in India the problem is, and I have talked about this particular issue with a lot of people from the army as well on this podcast. So I was doing this one episode with someone from the army, and he had been on a very important post in the army. He had seen India from all the corners of India. And he told me one thing, that Indians do not read. So and also Kunal Shah tweeted about this ki India mein reading self help, it's pata nahi wo kya addiction hai with reading self help. People think it's a how should I put it? People think it's a your as if you are trying to show off ki tumne kitni self help books padhi hai. And people do not read about the real matter. Okay. Self-help is one aspect, but there are other things, other important books that you need to read. And as you mentioned, ki people do not read all the aspects, all the angles of one particular thing, and then they form their half-cooked opinions. So how do you think we can solve this? How can we solve this problem of not reading?
Not reading. This is a fundamental issue. And we have to deal it with on a personal level, and it's just very hard for us to, you know, change things on a society level. But I think it's very important for us to open ourselves to differing opinions and accept anything and everything that's coming our way. You know, just don't think that, okay, this is something that I believe is truth and I'm going to take a stand, I'm going to stand with it. No, just try to read a different line, different thought.
Right.
An opinion which is challenging your own stand on things, and try to understand ki jo bhi wo ek jo contrasting opinion hai, wo contrasting opinion ka root kya hai, wo opinion exist kyun karta hai. You know, try to put yourself in the shoes or try to think it from that angle. And this entire exercise is very exhausting. It takes patience, and that is one thing that I feel we lack. Patience.
Correct.
To just sit, reflect on things, and then, you know, go about forming opinions. So it's very important that we go through this exercise, and slowly we will definitely develop a punch, you know, a liking for reading different kind of material, and then forming your informed opinion on things.
Right. So let me take this further. I'll ask you a two-part question. So the first part is, why I ask this is because in India, a lot of people, they just read self-help, as I mentioned, Kunal Shah ka wo tweet bhi. So first part is, how do you tell people ki bhai self-help chhod ke bhi aur books hai, please read that? How do you do that? Because I recently started my book club, and when I ask people ki what kind of books should I be mentioning in this book club, everyone, like 95% of people, told me self-help. And I was like, India mein kya problem hai, log dusri books kyun nahi padh rahe hai?
A kind of battle out there. Logo ko lagta hai ki non-fiction is very helpful in life and fiction is not helpful. And this is a misconception on all the levels. Why? Because fiction is not a waste of time. Recently, I was reading about an article on this last week itself.
Yeah.
Ki how we discard fiction as something as a waste of time, but it is very important for our own development. Reading fiction exposes us to different cultures, identities, you know, thoughts. वो आपको इंसानों के बारे में बताता है, वो आपको इंसानों के emotions के बारे में बताता है. मतलब we humans are very complex beings. I think it's so difficult for us to understand ourselves and other humans out there.
Right.
Because we just don't know what we are going to do and why are we doing what we are doing.
Yeah.
तो ऐसी चीजों के बारे में अगर कोई author लिख रहा है, तो उसने I think काफी research करी होगी, उसने काफी observe किया होगा. उसके एक्सपीरियंसेस से वो चीज उसने लिखी होगी. तो ऐसे में इट इज इम्पॉर्टेंट कि आप उस चीज को पढ़ो, और जब आप उस चीज को पढ़ते हो तो आपका खुद का जो एक ना एक विजन होराइजन होता है, वो एक्सपैंड होता है, आपकी अंडरस्टैंडिंग ब्रॉड हो जाती है. तो इट इज इम्पॉर्टेंट कि आप फिक्शन पढ़ो, क्योंकि वो वेस्ट ऑफ टाइम नहीं है, वो आपको एक बेहतर इंसान बना सकता है. सेल्फ हेल्प इज इम्पॉर्टेंट एट सर्टेन लेवल्स कि आपको यू नो लोगों के मिस्टेक्स से सीखने को मिल रहा है या लोगों के थॉट्स से सीखने को मिल रहा है. बट व्हेन इट कम्स टू फिक्शन, स्टोरीज आर अ ब्यूटीफुल वे टू एंगेज आवर माइंड्स एंड आल्सो ब्रॉडन आवर माइंड्स.
सो देयर्स दिस वन बुक, आई थिंक सो इट्स नेम इज गॉड्स एंड एंड्स बाय लिंडसे परेरा. So it's about I don't know how to put it, like it's a very weirdly interesting book, because it's a book full of tragedies. Like by the end of the book you will kind of feel a little bit depressed, because it talks about a particular community in the society and how kids get sexually harassed, and it talks about all of that, but in a fictional and when I read that book, automatically my as you said ki your horizon expands, your knowledge expands in that particular topic. So I just wanted to let people know, and that's why I started the book club. Now I have made that book club and I have challenged people that you read these books, because self-help tumhe sab nahi samjhega. And anyway, self-help books are basically what 300-400 pages, and usme se bhi around 70-80% is useful. Other 20% is just wo book ka cost badhane ke liye, pages badhane ke liye hota hai.
Right.
So and people don't understand this. So and like as a bookstagram creator, I'm sure people come to you for book recommendations all the time. So is it about self-help books most of the time?
No. People it's ask not? Me about thriller recommendations, about mystery recommendations. I think a very few people have asked me about the non-fiction recommendations. That is something that has not really
for happened. For some reason, for me, it's completely different. Whenever people ask me for recommendation, they ask me self-help. And I'm like, bhai, main nahi padhta self-help, main kaise batau? Matlab, I have read, but not as many self-help that I can recommend.
Right,
so it's a very weird space to be in. And I always see this debate about ki, which self-help book is good. And I always tell people ki, please read fiction. Please check some fiction, because it will teach you a lot more than self-help books. So that's the whole conversation. And I technically, I you know, hate self-help books these days.
I think fiction ko logo ko lagta hai ki it is all imaginary, but it is imaginary to an extent, but it is also inspired from reality.
Real events, like,
You'll see the people, their conditions, the places, their references to the cultures, which are coming from the real life.
Right.
You know, and I don't think people are gods and they are creating a very different world out there in their minds.
Yeah.
They are they are definitely good with their imaginations, but there are things which are coming from the reality itself. So
Correct. It
is not a bad idea to read fiction. It is a good exercise, and you should definitely go ahead with it.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll ask you a very casual question. What was the last good fiction book that you read?
Last good fiction book that I read. Oh my gosh. this has got me thinking. Actually, I was reading Anxious People by Frederick Bachman. I haven't read it. I mean, I haven't completed reading it. But yeah, I have been past a few pages till now, and I think that is the last good fiction book that I have read.
I haven't read it.
A non-fiction book, however. Okay, you haven't read it. A lot of people recommended me, you know, read Anxious People. Then I was like, okay, let me try it.
What is it about?
Been going good. It's so far what I have understood, it is about a robbery that happened in an apartment with a few people, and now the police, the cops are there. And they are trying to investigate the entire case. And yeah, these things are still going on.
Okay.
But I think in the end, the book is trying to teach us about the people with anxiety or something. Or maybe, you know, how what appears is not really the truth. I think this is the premise of the book. Let me just get into it more. I cannot tell about it.
Yeah, totally fine. And what was the last good nonfiction that you read?
Just I think today morning I finished it. It's a very disturbing book. It's the name is To the Survivors, and it is written by someone who has volunteered at a center which is for the rape survivors, basically.
Okay.
For the sexual violence survivors. It was a very disturbing book. It is a dark book. It is talking about the experiences of the people who have suffered the sexual violence, and how the society views them, how they view themselves, and you know, how their entire idea of looking at the world changes after what happens with them.
Correct.
So yeah, that it is the condensation of there are a lot of stories in that about different survivors speaking about their experiences.
Let me ask you this. When you read nonfiction, especially books like this, very hard-hitting topic, and the stories can be disturbing, and how do you deal with it? Because a lot of time when I read nonfiction, especially topics that can be disruptive for you, I find it difficult to read after a few pages. Like I was reading this one book by Gulzar. It is a compilation of his poems and one more writer. I cannot remember his name, his short stories. And these are about partition. Okay. And now there's this one story where there's a scene which I cannot forget. It comes in my dream sometimes. It's like a nightmare now, because it talks about ki when the partition happened, India Pakistan partition, people were coming from train from Pakistan to India, and in that train there were people who had to throw their newborn babies out of the train, and that is very disturbing. So how do you deal with such facts? Because obviously non-fiction is going to hit you very hard.
True word. So, you know, usually I think I have become a little thick-skinned when it comes to such books. So they don't really hit me that hard. But in case I do feel a little disturbed, I just take a break. I let the things sink in. I take my time to absorb what happened. Because, yes, you are right. Because they can trigger you in ways you didn't imagine. Those, you know, and sometimes you can probably even relate to whatever is written, not just because it is, it happened, and it might not have happened to you, but still you can be, you can, you know, have empathy towards whatever happened. But there could be times when something similar has happened to you, and then it becomes very difficult to process it.
Right.
So I just take a break and let it, I just let it, let myself absorb everything. And then I come back to the book with a fresh mind and with a fresh eye. And then I continue reading it. But I think over time, I have become a very thick-skinned person in this department.
So, and are there any more such non-fictions that might have, you know, hit you very hard?
None that I remember right now.
Okay. So, because there are a lot of, like, there's this one book, it's called Punjab. I don't remember. Ishtiaq Ahmed, if I'm not wrong, the author's name. I might be wrong, but it's one of those books again, which talks about partition. It talks about very hard-hitting topics and heartbreaking topics, in fact. So, I have that certain relationship with non-fictions where after a point, I just skip the book. I cannot read it anymore because the human emotions, which with these older authors, right, it's very brutal because they had seen that happening actually. So, that's something which happens with me.
I think I haven't read a single book on partition.
You should, because...
I think I should.
You were saying?
But I think I have read three fiction books based on 1984 riots, communal riots that happened in India. And those were really hard-hitting. Now that I remember, two of them were in Hindi, I guess. They were written by Satya Vyas, I think. So those were really hard hitting because they just, for the first time, I realized why, the Sikh community is considered a minority. That was the first time I realized.
Yeah.
And whatever that happened around that time, I didn't have an idea about the things. But when I did get an idea, I was really... and disturbed. And that is exactly what I said, you know, you become more empathetic and you become more open to the ideas of things. You just become aware. So reading fiction is not a bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about Hindi books, right? And I have been seeing a lot of posts on your profile as well, which talk about books in Hindi. So, and is it like, how does Hindi books happen for you? Because for me, I haven't read any Hindi book till now. And I don't think so, even if I can now, because the language has been for so many years for me. It's basically like I can talk in Hindi, but I cannot read or write Hindi. Ab main bhool chuka hu school mein kya padha tha. So how did Hindi books happen for you?
I have been reading Hindi books since my childhood. And I just love Hindi as much as I love English. In fact, there are times when I really feel more, I feel better when I read Hindi. Although I read Hindi books very less now, I used to read them more while I was still in school. But it has been there and there is no special animus. I mean, I don't feel detached with Hindi literature. I really feel very good and very, you know, this a certain kind of warmth with Hindi literature.
So what is it in Hindi literature that differentiates it from all the other, like basically English literature?
For me personally? Okay, so I think one reason is because Hindi is my mother tongue.
Okay.
So I just continue. And also I think I'm more interested in classics Hindi rather than the contemporary Hindi. But when it
okay.
comes to English, I prefer contemporary English than the classics
yeah.
because classics don't really attract me a lot.
And
but
the language
Hindi
is much
different.
More tougher.
Really, 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 I will agree with that. So with Hindi, there is just like, you know, you have been used to this language. And especially when the way the classics writer, they write it, you know, how they deal with this. There is probably a mention of shayari, nazm,
yeah,
the poetic
yeah.
language. I just really like it. I really like the experience of reading that language anytime and every time.
Correct. So let me ask you this. As for someone like me who has never read Hindi, who has forgotten reading Hindi, basically, what would be a good book to start with?
Okay. What would be a good book? I think I'll tell you that you start reading with the contemporary writers only, not the classics, because they have a very difficult
Hindi
that's coming up
yeah.
and you have to find the dictionary for the meanings. So anything that's written by Satya Vyas or by Divya Prakash Dubey, these writers, they have been writing good things. Manav Kaul and there was this Nilotpal Mrinal, I think. That's the name of the author. So these some of the contemporary Hindi writers, you can definitely start reading their work. You'll of course feel very nice. Also, I have noticed that they always write about, you know, very real things. Like, जैसे मैंने सत्यवास जी की किताब पढ़ी है, आई थिंक बनारस के ऊपर है वो, कुछ घाट जो वाराणसी जो बनारस का घाट है उसके ऊपर का. तो जिस प्रकार से वो उसके बारे में बताते हैं कि अस्सी घाट पे क्या होता है, कैसा होता है, और लोग एक दूसरे से कैसे बात करते हैं, उनकी जो कॉन्वर्सेशन उसी उसी हिसाब से उसे लिखते हैं अपने नैरेटिव में. और अच्छा लगता है उसे पढ़ के कि यू नो हाउ थिंग्स आर हैपनिंग अराउंड एंड जस्ट फील मोर कनेक्टेड, आई थिंक.
So, you know, like my mother used to, up to she doesn't read as much, but when she used to read Hindi novellas, she has told me that Hindi writers, they have a certain way to absorb you in their words because they write about something that might have happened yesterday. It's that relative.
Yes.
So do you also feel that is the case?
Probably, yes. I mean, that's exactly, you know, they have a very good way of writing about the emotions. So you just feel very connected. Okay, this is something that I have felt like. So it's like this language and the way they write, this Hindi literature itself just feels like home. It doesn't feel alien. And I think a lot of people in India, if not from the tier 1 cities, but those coming from the tier 2 cities or tier 3 cities for that matter, these are the people I have usually observed, they read a lot of Hindi literature and they appreciate it. So it's not like they are reading it and the thing, the literature is definitely good. It is definitely lovely experience. So I think there is a lot of demand for Hindi literature and it is able to make people relate to whatever is happening. And this is why the Hindi literature is still selling in India.
Yeah. And do you think, since you have read so many Hindi books, like more than me at least. So does it help you in connecting with people better? With people, like people from tier 2, tier 3 cities, because Hindi books talk about their lives more than the urban lifestyle.
Yes. I think yes, because I think I come from Bhopal and Bhopal itself is a tier 2 city. So yes, these books, when they talk about, you know, the tier 2 or tier 3 cities or probably the village areas, you get a better understanding of what are the real challenges that these people are facing. You know, there could be a young boy coming from a village area and he's trying to find his way out in a metro city, and their struggles, unke andar ke jo kehte ki man ke antar dwand aur wo sab kuch, unki bhavnaye, unke jo bhi challenges hai wo sab. तो उन्हें पढ़कर ऐसा लगता है कि okay, these are also real things and these are the things that are happening.
Yeah.
Like we are living in some sort of dreamland. We just don't know what's
happening
out in the remotest corners of our own country.
Yeah.
Let's not even talk about exploring the world out there. You're not even able to understand what is happening in our own country. And this is the real
Absolutely.
thing. A lot is happening in the remotest areas of this country, and we are still not aware about it. We're just talking about a lot of things. And one day I was in a conversation with my friend, and we were telling ki how everyone is trying to talk about the politics, not even politics,
yeah.
I mean, things that are happening, suppose,
yeah,
in America
yeah.
or in other parts of the country.
Current,
which
current
again,
topics.
We should definitely be aware about.
Yeah.
But they might not even have a clue about what is happening in the grassroots area level, at the grassroots
right.
level in India. They might not have even a single idea about it. That's kind of sad. Like, why are we not paying attention, or why are we not making efforts to know about our own country?
Right.
So these are all probably, he just referred it to all of these things as the first world problems.
Yeah. But then, is it?
But there are real problems that are happening in your own country. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And is it because of the privilege that we have? Because I have noticed this in me, and I have been on the wrong end of this privilege matter. So I have been privileged since my childhood because I went to a completely English medium school, which was co-ed. And that is a privilege for a lot of people that I realize now. Oh, school time pe to no one realizes this. But as you grow up, as you meet newer people. So when I went for my degree college, I saw people came from various backgrounds, and I got to know that, okay, there are certain problems jinke bare mein maine kabhi socha bhi nahi hoga, and those problems exist. So I think so that reading Hindi books, maybe they can explore, they can, I am forgetting that word. There's this one word jo mere dimag mein nahi aa raha, but I have lost track of my thought. So basically my point was ki it helps you get to know that topic better.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I'm not trying to demean the English literature here.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, they also
not
talk
at all.
About the real,
yeah.
Yeah, even they also talk about the grassroots problems, but I think Hindi has a different way of connecting, and it has its own audience. It has its own reader
right.
base.
Right.
So there is no comparison basically.
So, I also want to know from you, like, when you started your Bookstagram, you told me that you started it in 2018. And this is 2022 now. So roughly like 3-4 years of hardcore Bookstagramming. How did you grow it? Because it's a challenge for a lot of people to grow a Bookstagram because your picture, as we talked about dynamics, that pictures needs to be good, your write-ups needs to be good. So what are the key elements of growing a Bookstagram? Because I'm sure that a lot of your audience might come here to watch this episode, and they would want to know ki aapne kis tarah se grow kiya. So for them, can you
okay.
give them certain tips that have worked for you?
Certain tips. I think I just got lucky sometimes, and that
yeah.
is how the growth happened. Because right now I have been stuck on a certain number for almost 3-4 months, and I don't
yeah.
know how to go about growing it anymore. The
yeah.
reels are working, and I'm trying to experiment with reels, although I'm not too comfortable with the entire concept of video content. I'm still trying to find a way out of all of these things. But when it comes to Bookstagramming, of course, the growth has to come when you are consistent with anything that you do. You don't get success overnight. There is nothing like an overnight success. There is nothing like a success that comes easy to you.
Okay. Yeah,
anything
yeah.
that comes to you comes with after a lot of time, after a lot of patience, after a lot of efforts. So you
right.
have to be consistent with doing things. There would be days you will not see a single result of what you are doing. And you might be just so disappointed. Like, why are you even doing it? Why are you investing
yeah.
your time and energy into doing things? But on those days, a strong sense of, like, you know, your why should be strong. Why are you doing it?
Right. Right.
And when you have that why, that is, it is very strong, it is easier for you to get through your bad days. So consistency
right.
is important, and consistency will only come by if you have a strong why in the place.
Correct.
So I think consistency is very important. Experimenting with your content formats is important. You can always study how the your particular industry is working out there, how your fellow Bookstagrammers are working, how are they putting
yeah.
the content, how are they writing things, how are they taking the pictures, what are the books they are reading. Not just to pressurize yourself into being who they are, But you can always take some inspiration from it and then try to incorporate it, give it your personal touch, and then go about creating content and growing your own account. So experimenting is very important. Consistency is very important. Engaging with the people is very important. Networking is very important. Like right now we are doing this podcast.
Yes.
So in a way, it is a networking opportunity for both of us. We are trying to tap into each other's audience.
Right.
And I also realized that Instagram as a platform is a collaborative platform. It is not a competitive platform. If you try to see it from the lens of competition, you are going to fail. See it as a competition that you're trying to connect with more people. You're trying to collaborate. Healthy competition is there. And that's how you can make the most of this platform. That is exactly what I have read recently. And I'm trying to incorporate in how I am doing things from here on. Because if it is a collaborative platform, we should see each other as fellow creators and support each other. Try to come up with content pieces which reflect our shared values, our shared experiences. That's how we can go about. So networking is very important. As a content creator, it can be your make or break thing, probably. If you just stay in your own bubble, if you stay in your own bubble, there is no way forward. But if you get out of your own bubble, you try to meet people, you try to interact with people, you try to, probably like say build relationships with people out there, and genuinely help them with whatever and the way you can help them. That is the way you can grow on this platform or any other in any other field that you go forward. I think that's the way you can grow.
Right. And you very rightly mentioned that Instagram is a collaborative platform because I have seen this, and obviously Instagram promotes people. For example, if you are a Bookstagram creator, I am a Bookstagram creator, and we are constantly networking with each other, as in ki, I am commenting on your post, you are commenting on my post. So people get to know ki, acha theek hai, ye dono ek dusre ke post pe comment kare, comment section se you can explore each other. Then also Instagram suggests you to more people when they follow you. So for example, agar main ek naya creator hu, I come and follow Khyati. Right after following you, वो profiles देता है नीचे फिर कि इन लोगों को भी करो. So those are the people with whom your profile matches. So obviously it's a collaborative platform which people don't realize sadly, and the competition grows very toxic sometimes.
So
I have been creating content for the past I think so 7 or 8 years maybe, and I have seen the growth of a lot of creators. And what happens is and this is particularly for you, right? Because you told just now that you are at a phase, at a number jahan se you don't know ki how to get out of this. So you are experimenting now. You are like, we are doing the podcast, which you were not comfortable doing in 2020, but now you are experimenting. So do you know there's this very proven fact that when you get stuck at a number, and at that moment you start to experiment, after a point you explode, then the graph goes exponentially up. So your followers are going to boom, and it is going to go exponentially
so
up.
Good.
And there's a good I think so there's a graph as well jo maine kuch din pehle share bhi kiya tha, which talks about this same phenomena, which is ki it shows ki successful creators and unsuccessful creators, unke beech mein kya difference hai. There's just one difference, which is
I remember
successful creators, they see the whole graph of experimentation, and unsuccessful creators, they never experiment. So I think so in the next year or so, you might be at 50K, who knows?
Just let's hope for the best for both of us.
Yeah, so that, and I'm sure because your content is good, so hopefully it happens. What is your goal as a content creator? Is it to is it to get fame, or is it to get money, or is it a mix of both?
In my case, it's a mix of both, because I started, when I started it, it was a hobby, but now I really want to I have converted it into my side hustle. So making money is definitely a goal, and it is going well, so good so far. But of course, the fame is also something that I kind of desire. Not something like, you know, everyone should know me, but you know, it's like an external validation is so important for our own existence. On days, it just gives a lot of boost to our own morale and gives a lot of confidence. So I think a mix of both is
let me rephrase the question, because obviously for every content creator, money and fame both are important. But let me rephrase it like this. What is slightly more important for you? I know that it's a mix of both for you, but then is fame little bit more important, or is it money little bit more important?
Currently, I think money is more important, but in the longer run, if I have to define my own goal with this page, fame is definitely going to go, is going to weigh more when it compares against the money part.
Yeah. Do you think content creators are narcissistic? Because we always want fame in a way. We always want people to talk about us, and we find out ways in which we can make people talk about us. So do you think we are narcissistic?
I think, yes, we are narcissistic. We really like this world where, you know, people are talking about us, they're giving a certain value. I think we all are, not just content creators, all the humans
at
some point
yeah.
in their lives are narcissistic. They all like the attention, the external validation, because that is important for our own existence.
Yeah, we are social animals.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think, yeah, as creators, we just tend to be more narcissistic on certain days.
But that is beneficial for us, right? Because the more people talk about us, the more chances we get to make money.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's nothing wrong about it. See, the thing is, you can be narcissistic, but don't let it control your own behavior, and let not it control your actions. Because the day that narcissism converts into some toxic ego, then that's a problem. Because then your growth or your growth is affected in whatever ways you want to grow in personal life or in professional life. So you can be narcissistic, but just try to, you know, maintain a fine difference between being narcissistic and being egoistic about things. Try to view things in a healthy manner, and you're good to go.
Yeah. And since we are talking about Bookstagram content creation, are there any of your favorite content creators on Bookstagram? It can be from they can be from India or outside India.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think Vidya is one of my favorite creators. I really like reading the captions of Ekta from This Book Magnet, Kritika from Ask the Book Bug. There is Simran. There is Confessions of Two Reading Freaks. There are a lot of people that I absolutely love. There is Bookworm Reads, Gunjan from Bookworm Reads. And I might not be able to mention all of them now. But yeah, there are a lot of people I absolutely love reading, enjoying, you know, interacting with them. It's always fun.
Is this we have recorded over 1 hour now, wrap up this conversation, last few questions. One of those is, and this is a question which I really wanted to ask you, are there conversations with other fellow bookstagrammers about books where your opinions differ? Like, for example, you may be, and I'm saying this with no hatred for the author, you might love Chetan Bhagat, but some other creator won't like him or his writing. So what are your what are your conversations about these things like?
I don't remember any intimate conversation I have had with someone when I had to encounter conflicting opinion. Yeah. One time I did a buddy reading of a book with one of the bookstagrammers, and happily enough, we both were having the same thoughts on the book.
Okay.
So it was good. So I have never encountered a conflicting opinion, but yeah, I do come across such opinions in the form of captions or something, and I read them. They also, again, as I said, you know, it is so important to read those thoughts, because it makes you think. Stop. You had a different opinion on thing. You had a different idea, and this person is coming from a different area of thoughts. And this might be a true thing. So it just makes you stop there and think. And that is something which is very important.
Yeah.
Think over things. Because again, as I said, it takes patience. It takes time to be in that process of telling yourself like, okay, this is something which is against what you believe in, and you have to investigate this entire case before you form an informed opinion. So let's get into this. So it's a fun thing. So
And
yeah,
you know,
I have never been. I have seen a lot.
No, no, please continue. Please continue.
And I have also seen that there are certain times when people have very very hateful comments about certain authors. And I used to get very overwhelmed before, you know, reading those things. But these days I realize that, okay, this is how the entire social media works. And Bookstagram is no different in this regard. So I don't usually get affected by it now. I read it, I try to understand. If it is something that I would like to accept and, you know, think over, I will definitely do it. But if it doesn't resonate with me at all, if it is just full of a lot of hatred without any substance, I just go ahead. I don't want to just invest a lot of time or energy into those things.
Right. So, and as you said, that a lot of authors get a like weird kind of hatred. Sometimes it is not even their own mistake. Sometimes it's just the person who doesn't get their perspective. There's one such author. It is Chetan Bhagat. What are your opinions on him and his writing? Because in India, he has been bashed so many times, and I am like, ki bas kar do abhi bichare ko chhod do. Usne kya matlab itna kya kar diya? Especially his books have, you know, attracted people towards reading, and still he gets a lot of hate. So what are your opinions about him?
Right. So Chetan Bhagat is not a bad author entirely, okay? And the people who read him are not stupid the way they are portrayed to be otherwise. I think he's a person who just got into writing after completing his entire education or something. And whatever he wrote was somewhere inspired from his own real experiences, okay? So, and because he wanted to write, so he did write. And if people were able to relate to whatever he wrote, it's good, right? Now, even though people are bashing him, even if people are just saying that, you know, they're hating on his work, some or the, there are a lot of people who have actually got into reading because of his books.
Absolutely.
And
I am one of those people, in fact.
Like, right. So just because your reading taste has evolved, that doesn't mean that you'll go back to that author and hate on him or you'll bash them for whatever they have written. See, even if his writing was something that you found trashy, he just marketed it well. So he's a writer of people who are beginners, who like to read casual, who like to indulge in casual reading. And I think there is nothing wrong about it. If it is making, if it is inspiring you to read more, no harm in that. If you don't want to read his work, you can definitely stop, DNF the book right then and there, and just go ahead. There is no point of hating on things you don't like. You can always, you always have the choice to give up on things. If you don't give up and then you come back to the things and then you tell you know, bad things about it, I don't think that takes us, any of us, anywhere.
So Chetan Bhagat is one of those writers. Like, I remember reading his book Three Mistakes of My Life when I was 12 or 13, and at that time I was like, oh my god, what is this book? Maine kya pad liya? It was that good. And now when I look back at it, it's okay. But I don't hate on that author. And I think so, in India, a lot of love story writers, they get like bin matlab ka hate. So there's this one more writer, his name is Ravinder Singh. He gets hate for the same reason. Pata nahi kyun, like, people read their books, then they forget about it and they start hating them. So
trust me, I think right after I completed my 12th standard, I read Your Dreams Are Mine Now by Ravinder Singh. I really liked that book. You know, I just cried reading that book. And later on, I just came across people who were like, Ravinder Singh is such a trash writer. He's writing such trash stories and stuff like that. I was like, I just doubted myself. Like, did I just like something which was so bad? I don't know. But again, you know, I have just really become immune to those, these things now. Like, people are going to hate whatever they want to hate. I have the choice that I'm a different individual, and whatever people are hating is not exactly what I'm going to hate. So let to each their own, and let's live with that.
And Do you know that Your Dreams Are Mine, the Ravinder Singh book, it is one of the most gifted book between teenage love stories, like teenage couples. And I bonded with my then girlfriend in 12th or 11th, I think, so something like that, because of that book. And as you said that you cried, we also cried reading that book. So, and now when I look back at those people, they are the same people that are hating on Ravinder Singh. So I don't know if it's their broken hearts or is it Ravinder Singh jo sach mein itna bura ho gaya suddenly.
I think these books, they have a very specific audience, you know, the teenagers, the late teenagers, they will of course relate to these books, you know, they are very new with their emotions and their thoughts, so they are going to find it very easy and very, you know, so these books are like welcoming for them. Okay, now of course we are grown adults, we have read a lot, we have explored the literature in very different manners, so we are not going to like it, but it's okay, like you have to start from somewhere. And every book has its own reader base. Okay, let's. It's not about that each book is going to satisfy the entire reader community out there. So that's that.
Yeah. Well, by the way, this just hit me, and I was going to interrupt you in between. Iske pehle wale hamare conversation mein. But okay, I'll do it now. Which is in 2020, you told me that you're not ready for video podcast. And this is 2022. We are recording this podcast now. And I have just realized that you're very easy to talk with. The conversation has flown for an hour without me thinking about ki acha ab mujhe ye puchna hai, agla ab mujhe ye puchna hai. So the conversation has gone very smoothly. And somewhere I feel this is because of books, because you have read so many books and your knowledge about the world has grown so much. You have some good opinions, formulated opinions. You can talk about it. And that is a good note to let people know ki please start reading.
Exactly. Start reading it. And it's not like you have to read 50 or 60 books in a year. Yeah. You can just read 2 or 3 books in a year and that's okay. You just have to read as per your availability, as per your own routine. If you just see things from the lens of, you know, as a leisure activity, you're going to enjoy it. If you're going to pressurize yourself, then I don't know how it's going to help you anyway.
Correct. And and also I'm very glad that we did this podcast, because this conversation is one of the very different conversation that we are having on this channel. It's always about serious topics with people from army, people who talk about history, religion, stuff like that. And this was in a way very casual, but very serious at the same time. We talked about a lot of things today, and I still feel that we can record for an hour more. It's that good. Probably. Because we can talk about books all day long. So but then we should definitely plan one more podcast, because I'm sure even your audience would want you to come out there and tell them about your life, and hum sabko fame chahiye, as we talked about this earlier. But
But I think it was a really good exercise. I mean, really good experience for me also coming here, because before that I have done one podcast, but again, it was an audio podcast.
Yeah.
It was not a video one. So it is a very, very new experience for me. So I'm always going to remember it as my very first video podcast that I did.
And, I'm so glad that we did this.
Yeah, it is my first. So it's like a milestone event in the life, probably.
But, let me ask you this. A thought. Are you going to start your own podcast? Because it's a good niche to pick into, because you know a lot about books. You can talk about books on your own podcast. You can just make it a very niche specific podcast jahan pe you're talking about books, you're talking with authors or someone else, like from community of the Bookstagram.
Right. So I think I might just start a podcast in the near future. Not in the near future, but in the future for sure. Right now, I'm just trying to get comfortable with the Instagram lives. I think I did my last live session almost 10 months ago. It's been that long.
Oh, okay.
After that, I haven't just appeared there. So I'm just trying to get back to that, get comfortable with things. And then definitely maybe one day I would love to be on this podcast thing. It's going to be a new experience again.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I would love to hear your thoughts on your podcast. I would love to see you talk with authors as well, because I genuinely feel that you have some really amazing opinions about the world issues. I mean, we have talked about just for an hour, but I got the trailer. So I'm really excited to see your podcast.
Thank you. Okay, that's enough of an motivation today for me. Thank you so much.
Perfect.
You okay, have been a wonderful host.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And before we log out of this podcast, this is one question that I ask to every guest. Are there any specific book recommendations for the audience? Like your favorite books or books that you are reading right now? Any recommendation?
So Tuesdays with Maury is one book that I always Beautiful recommend. Book. And a lot of people have read it and they have come back to me and told me this, that book is really nice. So if you haven't read that book, do read Tuesdays with Maury. The second book that I really love was To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. An author I would like to, a couple of authors I would like to recommend are Ruskin Bond and Sudha Murthy, and also Jhumpa Lahiri, because I really like her work. Although I've just read one book by her, that is The Clothing of Books, but the way she writes, it is so beautiful. It is so immersive. That if you are someone who likes to read something of a very good literary quality, just read Jhumpa Lahiri for sure.
Right. So you mentioned Tuesdays with Maury. So I think so you will love this book. And this is a recommendation from me for you by the same author. This book is The Five People You Meet in Heaven. By the same author, Mitch Albom. So again, a very short book like Tuesdays with Maury, but a really beautiful book. And there's one more book. This is a very fat book. This is called Cloud Atlas by David Mitchell. So if you are, and I won't recommend it reading to everyone, just to you, because you have read books and you know how literature works, how the language changes. So this book, it's basically from a very historical perspective. Like it starts in the 18th century, if I'm not wrong, and it ends at post-apocalyptic world. And there are several stories in between, and at every story, as the years progress, the language changes according to the year. So in one book, you get the pura literature. It's one of the most beautiful work I have recently read, and it's about rebirth and all the Eastern philosophy. So these two books that you might love.
Sounds amazing. I definitely tried David Mitchell's book. I definitely tried.
Perfect. So yeah, with that being said, thank you, Kathy, for doing this podcast. Bahut hi maza aaya. We should plan one more very soon. We should definitely plan one more, because I really need to talk with you more about books.
Absolutely. It was such a lovely experience to be on this show and then talk to you. And you have thank been you. Such a hard, you know, such a, what should I say, welcoming host here. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.